What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
No Joe, just Paul today. He's on vacation. He'll be back on Monday. If you want to jump in, you can. 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join on Twitch at ESPN 975. Of note, at Astros spring training, we've been seeing a lot of Jose Altuve in left field. Expect more of it. They did just sign a second baseman yesterday, after all. And even if that guy isn't guaranteed to make the roster, he is a former Gold Glove defender. So, just something to keep in mind. There's going to be some changes in the Astros infield. We heard from Christian Walker in the last segment. He loves the vibes of the Astros clubhouse. And Isak Paredes is also going to be in the Astros infield, third baseman. Here he is being asked the question en español and interpreted by a new Spanish to English interpreter after the fact.
¿Cómo se siente reemplazar a Alex Bregman, que es un jugador que estaba aquí mucho tiempo con los Astros? ¿Hay alguna presión por eso de reemplazarlo?
La verdad, no hay presión.
I didn't get anything more. We did this earlier in the show. I thought the second time through I would pick up more Spanish words. Sean, you get anything there? Nothing?
I was just waiting for tiempo.
I heard tiempo. Like, that's it. That's all I got. El Tiempo's on the brain. It's 2:02. Where's my margarita?
5 o'clock somewhere. Right? that's what Tiempo it is.
It's 8 a.m. somewhere. What? More from now, Isak Paredes answering this question.
La verdad no hay presión. Reconozco la carrera y la trayectoria de Alex Bregman. Mi respeto hacia él. Es uno de los mejores tercera base que ha habido en la MLB. Y mi respeto, pero bueno, ahora me toca suplir esa posición. No tengo presión, solamente quiero ayudar al equipo en lo que se pueda.
Okay, pause. I heard him say impression twice. So, and bear with me here. His impression, I heard the word impression. I heard the word is. I don't know anything else. But I got two words out of that. Because he said este, and he said impresión. All right. Translator, please help us. What was Isak Paredes saying?
No pressure. My respects to Alex Bregman. He's a great ball player, great career. But there's no added pressure. I'm just ready to replace him at third base and do whatever the team does for the team.
I think there is a lot of pressure to replace Alex Bregman at third base. But this is the mentality you have to have. And I like the confidence. No pressure. I'm just going to do what I do. But I really like that he's a part of a plan for Dana Brown to make this Astros team more patient at the plate, because he is the perfect embodiment of this. Everyone's excited about how he pulls the ball. I think he hits it to the left 49% of the time. Not with the best exit velocity, but everyone's excited about the fact that when he was at the Trop, which has the second shortest left field in baseball, he was mashing it over the wall. And that at Minute Maid Park, which has the shortest left field in Major League Baseball, I guess Fenway Park is technically shorter, but it's got the huge wall. He's going to be knocking a lot of these for home runs. So that's something to be excited about. Like, metrics-wise, trading for him makes a lot of sense at Minute Maid Park. But the guy's so patient. He's got a walk rate of 11.9%. That's 10th in all of baseball. And no hitter in the sport averaged more pitches per plate appearance than Isak Paredes last year. Christian Walker, for what it's worth, 10th on that list of the players averaging the most pitches per plate appearance. No Astro was higher than 92nd last year. So I'm feeling pretty excited about Isak Paredes the more I learn about him. And okay, he senses no pressure. Well, I hope he feels no pressure. It is a very large set of shoes to fill. Those of Alex Bregman, even though he is a small guy, those are big shoes.
Do you think that maybe instead of impression, he was saying pressure?
Not
to bring it back to you trying to
interpret what he's saying.
Yeah, what he's saying.
We're a multicultural show. I mean, we play play-by-play calls in different languages all the time. Mm-hmm. Do we know what's going on? No, we generally
almost
are just
never
reading the vibes based off of the energy of the broadcasters. But it's possible. What is pressure in Spanish?
Oh, I don't know.
Presioro? No, that's not it. Yeah, truly, I don't know. I really want to know what it would sound like if somebody did a...
It's presión.
Presión. Okay. Damn, he was talking about pressure. I only got one word then. I got is right.
Yeah, there's an is in there.
It would be really funny to hear a salsa cover of Billy Joel's Pressure. Presión! Presión! Okay, I'll stop singing. Galan and George, no Joe, just Paul. I am excited about Isak Paredes going into this year. Julian has a call at 713-780-3776. What's up, Julian?
How you doing, gentlemen?
Wonderful.
So I'm a little bit behind on Paredes. Is he a good fielder?
No.
How is he in the field, fellas?
No, he's not a good fielder, unfortunately. Joe Spott is calling him average.
Okay.
But per metrics, he is towards the bottom of baseball at third base. Hopefully he's better than Rafael Devers, who Bregman should be replacing in Boston at third.
Okay, well, let's be honest. That's the only pressure he has is his defense then. Because what is Bregman? He's a 260 hitter, 250 hitter the last few years. He doesn't hit home runs like he used to. I feel like I've been saying this whole offseason to every radio show in Houston, as far as 97.5. The stigma of Alex Bregman from 2017 is hanging high over you guys. He's not that MVP dude no more. There's not this huge, oh my God, what are we going to do without Alex Bregman and his bat because he's just such a baller. It's not there, brother. If he can just be a 250 hitter with 20 home runs and 70 RBIs, that's Bregman for not $40 million a year. The pressure's on Bregman. Not on this guy.
Good call, Julian. I like the spin, too. I'll say this in response. In the clubhouse, not having Bregman, I am curious about what that means. And I say that from I don't think anyone in the Astros clubhouse knows ball quite like Bregman. And perhaps it was hammed up, the story about Bregman telling Hunter Brown, hey man, throw your sinker. But he is, I think, one of those guys where if he didn't make all the money that he's trying to make, like, this is a guy who I think would be a great coach at some point. How much of an impact does that have in a clubhouse? That is undefinable. And the way Julian's looking at it, if you take his name out of the equation entirely and you remember the slow starts of the year, the pop-outs with runners in scoring position, you could see things the same way that Julian does. And there is definitely a degree of it's the name brand that you're losing and you are used to rooting for a long period of time.
Isak Paredes hit .238 last year.
Right.
And .250 the year before.
That's all he was asking for. .250, 20 homers, 70 runs batted in.
Yeah, he has good pop. His OPSs are about the same as Bregman's the last 2 years
wow.
of each. And most of that is just through power. Like, Bregman's more batting average. Paredes, a little bit more power.
And they are moving him into a ballpark which, much like with Alex Bregman,
yeah,
it works for him.
Yeah, because he was bad in Chicago right. for, I mean, it's just 50 games, so it's not like terrible to his averages, but he was not good in Chicago. And the last, you know, 250 games that he played in Tampa, he was awesome. So we'll see.
It's tough to hit at Wrigley because the air is getting taxed by corrupt Chicago politicians. You know, everyone's mm-hmm. wetting their beak with every little breath of air that you take up there. Something to consider. Alex Bregman didn't sign with the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, he didn't pay off ESOC president, pay off Big Wind.
No,
to blow off his home runs into left fielder's gloves.
He should have. The wind didn't help him there. So anyway, we're getting closer and closer to spring training beginning. We are at a moment in the sports calendar, and we talked about this yesterday to a degree, where what we talk about now is to a degree up to you. Because I realize that some of these conversations, is Isak Paredes going to be good? The metrics say he's at least part of a good plan, but I don't know if he's going to be good. So I am curious as to what you guys want us to discuss. I know someone called in yesterday and wanted to talk about the four nations because the U.S. and Canada are playing again tonight. That'll be fun. I'm excited for the game. I will watch the game. I will not have much to say as far as solid hockey takes other than I hope that we beat up some Canadians again. That's really it.
Yeah, beat them up, score more points.
Yeah. I want some more goals, and I want a couple of trips to the sin bin.
Yeah.
As they call it.
Someone knock around Sidney Crosby. Because I saw Sidney Crosby still playing hockey.
He is?
I was very surprised.
Oh, wow.
He's been playing hockey literally as long as I can remember.
So that's really what's going on in sports this week until the Rockets tip things off tomorrow against the Minnesota Timberwolves. I saw a couple of shows that are on the verge of coming out. And I do think that we are about to see some really awesome stuff. Though it might not be right around the corner. First off, that Temptation Island show on Espanol. I don't ever understand what's being said on it, but every single time that guy Montoya is forced to watch his girlfriend's cheeks getting clapped is really funny.
There's a new one, like, this week.
It's a new video every week, Sean. I can't believe he's still on the show.
Yeah.
And then he hasn't killed her. Like, I mean, not justifying it, but like, isn't that the next step of this reality TV show? They've been showing boinking. Like, the next step is someone's getting killed. And obviously, that would be terrible, and the show would probably be canceled, yeah. But it would be the most talked about reality TV show ever. And if you're all about the numbers, I know I have a dark sense of humor, but this is actually factual.
Yeah.
It's the only evolution of it, because it's just once a week, it's Montoya's just watching his girl getting, you know,
like actually the business. Get like full boinking too. Like, it's not just like they're getting romantic. They're not just getting close or touching. Like, no, there's like, it's actual covered by either censorship or the actual covers. It's like full, you know, 1/1000th of what Bonnie Blue was doing.
Less pregnancy. But
we don't know. We don't tune in next week to find out.
Funny if that's the next step. So that's a show I have on my list.
Temptation Island.
Of things that I think I want to watch. There are a couple of movies on the horizon. Christopher Nolan is doing an Odyssey movie. Guess who stars in this?
I've seen it.
Matt Damon. Matt Damon's in this movie. As is Tom Holland. Zendaya, Anne Hathaway, John Bernthal,
yeah,
Charlize Theron, John Leguizamo.
Leguizamo.
My bad.
Sorry.
Robert Pattinson, Lupita Nyong'o, and two people I don't know, Benny Safdie and someone named Elliot Page.
Elliot Page is what Ellen Page is going as now. And Benny Safdie was one of the scientists in Oppenheimer. He was the one that goes, "What if we make a bigger bomb?" He was that guy.
Oh, that's a good line to deliver.
That's a good one.
That makes a lot of sense with Elliot Page. Okay. I'm not kidding. I did not know that.
Yeah, it's all right.
Okay. Well, you know, things happen. Paul, riveting analysis. Yes. Yes. I'm uncomfortable.
But it adds to the star-studded nature of that.
It's a star-studded.
It's someone you know.
And it's a progressive Christopher Nolan movie.
Yeah.
So there's that coming out. There's a movie. It's a Scorsese movie. Guess who's in this one?
Scorsese, De Niro.
No.
Pacino? Or is it newer?
No.
Newer Scorsese.
It's newer.
Okay. So is it DiCaprio?
DiCaprio's in it.
Okay.
Emily Blunt's in it.
Oh.
You're going to lose your mind when you hear who the other person is. Yes.
Elliot Page.
No, that's the lead of the movie. Yes, Elliot Page.
No.
It's a movie about a Hawaiian crime boss. Guess.
No way.
Guess. It's a Scorsese movie. Guess.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yes! I'm excited for this.
A Hawaiian crime boss?
The Rock will star in Martin Scorsese's upcoming film as a Hawaiian crime boss.
Wait, is DiCaprio's character just on vacation or something?
A good question. I don't know if this is like a White Lotus spinoff, but the role is described as Robert De Niro's Jimmy the Gent character from Goodfellas. So The Rock is going to be Jimmy from Goodfellas, except for a lot more menacing? Hell yeah, dude.
Huh. I mean, that... You know what? I'm interested.
I'm interested.
I have to see this because I can't imagine The Rock, I guess, just being like a serious, good actor.
Dude, I can't either. And especially since the last like big production he was on, I think it was like Black Adam. He was apparently a massive pain in the ass.
Yeah. Yeah. This is interesting in the, like, I am assuming he has to humble himself a little bit. And he's not making Rampage in San Andreas where he gets to be big man on campus.
Yeah.
But this is crazy.
It is.
What if he wins an Oscar?
Oh, my God. Everyone would lose their mind. I hope it happens, though. More upcoming shows. Just to keep in mind. Season 4 of Blue Mountain State. I did not think that they would ever go back. But Alan Ritchson, who you might know from also, I think, coming out maybe this weekend, Reacher? Season 3, I think, is about to come out. Reacher is, you might remember him as Thad Castle from Blue Mountain State. Season 4 of Blue Mountain State is in final stages now.
First episode of Reacher Season 3 comes out tonight.
It is tonight. I thought so. That's exciting. It's so much better than the movie, which I've never seen, per every single person older than us.
Yes.
Apparently people who read those Reacher books.
Paul and I, before the show, or after yesterday's show, were talking about how both of our dads are big fans of the Reacher show.
Right. My stepdad's obsessed with the book, and then the Tom Cruise movie came out, and he was pissed off because Tom Cruise is like 5'6".
And my dad had the same exact reaction. Was
right.
The show's so much better.
Because Reacher in real life, or at least, Reacher in the books is supposed to be like 6'6".
Yeah, he's supposed to be a huge guy, which Alan Rickman. Huge guy.
So that's coming out, and there's going to be a Netflix docuseries about the Bin Laden manhunt. I've gotten into the OJ new docuseries. I thought to myself, wait, hasn't everything been said about the OJ Simpson case?
There's a new one?
This one is different. So the ESPN one is Made in America.
Yeah.
That one features, like, the history of the United States.
Yeah, it's like a
and
bigger
OJ.
Yeah.
This just goes straight into the crime.
Okay.
There's not even a buildup. There's not even a backstory. It just goes straight into like first witnesses.
Oh, they're not
what
even
they saw.
Not even USC footage. Not
no.
even Buffalo Bills.
Wow. No, nothing. It's basically like, you know who OJ is. We know who OJ is. Let's just skip all the
just about the case
and get to the killer.
Okay.
By the way, yeah, he did it. Come on. What are we doing here? It is insane, just the beginning of it, the stuff that was not admitted as evidence that seems so obvious. Oh, there's a fingerprint on the door that's right by where the murder happened. Yeah, well, we don't need that.
We're we don't PD. Need
Yeah, we don't
gotta
need
go surf
that.
After this. I don't know what they're doing.
I don't either. I mean, I did take a forensics class in college. I did.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And the entire time, I just tried to do as many bad Horatio Caine from CSI Miami puns as I could. Minus in the background, The Who saying, yeah! Bam, bam, bam.
Looks like the wave isn't the only thing hitting the beach in Miami.
What a fun moment that was in time, that TV show. Anyway, guys, Galan and George, no Joe, just Paul. 713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's how you text in. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join us on Twitch at ESPN 975. Nothing new on the possible new Texans stadium front, but yesterday we did touch on that, how the Texans are exploring the idea of a new stadium with taxpayer-funded money. How much? We'll see. Just know it's going to happen. If they're putting this out there, if they're soft launching it essentially with an article in the Houston Chronicle featuring two sources talking about this, where do you think these sources came from? Did they come from the Texans as an organization? Where else would it have come from? They're exploring it and they want to see what feedback is. I think they're finding out that at least early on, the feedback has generally been no. There have been a couple of people that have actually been saying, yeah, it would be nice to have a new stadium. There have been a couple of people, and I understand the argument for it. But then you think about who's going to pay for it, which is always the argument that we've had with the Astrodome. The Astrodome, there's always a funky idea every single year. And then someone says, oh, that's cool. Who's paying for it?
Yeah, it's going to cost $1 billion to turn it into XYZ. Oh, okay. So not happening. Got it.
I really want to work for the Astros Conservation Society. Like, I would gladly leave my job. Nothing against this job. It's great. I love doing this show with Joe, with Sean. But if there's ever an opening at the Astros Conservancy, what a cushy job that must be. You're getting paid actual money, and you just got to come up with an idea every single year for something that is a protected landmark. And you can just do that every single year. Oh, let's turn it into Astro World again. Let's put a roller coaster in there. Let's turn it into a casino. Let's turn it into a half casino, half parking lot. Let's turn it into a convention center.
Wasn't there one where it's like a bunch of restaurants?
Mm-hmm. With a promenade in the middle.
Yeah,
you could
promenade.
Walk through
yeah, promenade.
A promenade at the Astrodome.
I would love a promenade.
It would be nice to have a promenade. Yeah, especially, you know, rodeo's right around the corner. Don't you want to have a promenade in the middle of the wine garden that's located inside the eighth wonder of the world? But again, it's who's going
to
pay for it?
Just costs $1 billion tax dollars.
Could be one of those, you know, cat cafes, because there's a lot of cats in there. Yeah, I would invest in that.
The world's largest cat cafe.
The Catstradome, right. That was funny.
No, it was.
I heard you sniff. I heard you sniff. That was a laugh.
It was. It snuck out.
The Catstradome. I would invest in that 100%. From the 832, I've seen so many polls asking, would you vote for a new stadium? I've seen zero say yes. Yeah. I've seen one person, though, on my YouTube who wrote the same comment, and I bleep you not, 18 times. It's 18 times on the video I posted about
saying that. Yes or no?
Saying yes in a variety of different ways.
Okay.
The person did not strike me as someone who understands that you'd have to pay money for this new stadium, but I'm with you. I like that we're all in opposition to it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what it is specific. I mean, I obviously wasn't around the first time a football team tried to shake down the city of Houston for a new stadium. I don't remember what was specifically happening when Bud Adams was trying to get a new stadium. But I am glad that Houston is a city that just goes, we're not gonna be taken advantage of like this.
I used to be such a diehard sports fan, and I love being a casual sports fan now. And I know that probably sounds weird for someone who does this for a job. No, I love the job more than I love sports. Like, I love talking and you know, trying to entertain people and all that jazz. And, you know, we're trying to think of other things to talk about and watch. Someone texted in. We do have the Four Nations U.S.-Canada game tonight. They asked the question, do you think Boston boos the Canadian national anthem? Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, I might renounce being from Boston, at least temporarily, if they don't boo the Canadian national anthem.
Bad sports town. if they don't.
I might just never return. And sorry, wow. Sarah, my sis. Sorry, my brother-in-law and my two beautiful my nephew, my niece. Sorry, I can't go back unless Bostonians boo the Canadian national anthem tonight. It better happen. I don't even want to hear it. I don't even want to hear it. I want it booed so loud. I want it to be completely drowned out.
Drown it out.
I want to. I kind of want not a hot war because that would involve violence. Although I don't know if Canada has nukes, but I would like a cold war with Canada. And what's the best place for a cold war? Ice. That's what we've got tonight.
That's good. That's good. That was better than Castrodome.
Call me Tom Rinaldi. I'm just putting together banger intro montages for ESPN on the fly. He's Sean. I'm Paul. No Joe. He'll be back on Monday. It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Some interesting news for the Rockets. No Joe, just Paul today. Sean Mapes behind the glass. This from Adam Spillane. Ime Udoka expects Jabari Smith Jr. to play tomorrow against the Minnesota Timberwolves. He won't be on any sort of restriction, but a starting lineup decision hasn't been made. You might remember that before Jabari Smith Jr. was injured, he was a starter. Amen Thompson was not. But since that injury, Amen Thompson has come in and he has excelled. Amen's got to stay in the starting lineup. And I'm curious to know if Ime Udoka thinks otherwise, but I would say the percentage chance of that happening has got to be like less than 5%.
Yeah, I was going to say. Do you think it's even zero? I was going to say 5, but yeah, I think it's closer to 0. I imagine this will be a decision about Fred VanVleet, or the decision will come down to Fred VanVleet's availability.
Correct, and he's a game-time decision tomorrow. He sat out some parts of
practice. Yeah, so you might just go Thompson, Green, Brooks, Smith, Shingun. That might be the starting lineup if Van Vliet's out. If Van Vliet's in, I think that's where it gets a little bit more interesting. I would imagine it's either Brooks or Jabari starting in that case. I think that's probably the only guy you would take out of the lineup, starting lineup.
I think so. I think you're right. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. Let's see if they can win a game without Fred Van Vliet, or let's see if Fred Van Vliet's healthy.
I almost want to force him back out. The way you lost to the Timberwolves last time around, mm-hmm. I think you need a shot in the arm.
Yeah.
They are playing like ass. They've been soft, flopping around. And Van Vliet probably feels pressure to get back out there, too, just given where this season has gone. I mean, January, sky-high expectations. We were getting a little crazy.
Yeah.
And now, all of a sudden, you're like, okay, this is what we expected. I need the vibes back.
Yeah, I do wonder how much of it is the, like, you know, not to go KPJ excuse-making here, but it was, like, right before the All-Star break, and it was a lot of games in a short succession right before everyone goes on vacation.
For those who don't know, Kevin Porter Jr., who used to play for the Rockets, blamed famously, like, Christmas break.
Yeah, he's like, it's the holidays, so it's hard for us to focus.
As a reason for the Rockets struggling. Well, it's hard for everyone to focus. Imagine us struggling to focus and just saying, like, yeah, man, like, this Thanksgiving to New Year's Day and Martin Luther King Jr. Day, if I'm being perfectly honest. Yeah. It's just been tough to focus.
Yeah. He's like, we don't even get that day off.
Sucks. Yeah. I mean, it's so disrespectful to Dr. King, and I'm distracted by it in advance. Yeah, it was crazy.
Because it was, like, January 10th that he said this. Like, it was after all the holidays. He was like, you know, it's just tough.
It's the perfect embodiment of why the Steven Silas era was a disaster, is that Kevin Porter Jr. is saying that, and no one's like, hey, dude, F off. Also, that it took like a guy who plays the way that Kevin Porter Jr. does. It wasn't his play that had him move to the side. It was off the court incidents.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's Sean. I'm Paul. No Joe. It's Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. If you want to chime in, you can at 713-780-3776. This is an actually interesting question. Will Donald J. Trump be present at tonight's Four Nations hockey game between the United States and Canada? For those who don't know, this is what the NHL All-Star Game has been replaced by. And if you watched U.S.-Canada on Saturday, where the U.S. won 3-1 and there were three fights in the first 9 seconds of the game, this is perhaps going to be the most watched hockey game in a very long period of time, even though it's on a Thursday night. I feel like in an international game like this, you gotta go if you're the president. And he was at the Super Bowl.
He was at the Super Bowl. He called the USA team today. That's why when I just looked up Donald Trump hockey, that's the first thing that comes up is the Team USA U.S. hockey got a call from Donald Trump ahead of their
That sounds like he's not going to go there.
Yeah, I imagine it's an either-or thing. I don't know, but I just imagine.
I mean, it's not as big of a deal as the Super Bowl, which he acknowledges.
Oh, wait.
Is he going to be there?
Oh, okay. This is just the headline from the National Post. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump invites, quote, Governor Trudeau to watch the game to watch the USA-Canada game with Trump in D.C.
Ah.
But he got the Governor Trudeau dig in there.
Governor Trudeau.
That's good smack talk.
I love it.
As far as politician pregame smack talk goes, that's very high on the list.
It would be very funny if he said, listen, Canada loses. We're going to invade.
Yeah, play for your freedom.
You're playing for your freedom. We got to understand you're a real ally of the United States. Do we really trust you north of us to protect us from all the things that could happen? Well, you're going to have to play for your freedom tonight. That would be funny. I would laugh. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. How far is too far? It's a game we play every Thursday at 2:30. Hit it.
Gallant and George ask a simple question. How far is too far?
Yeah, we're definitely outside the box now, huh? But you got to ask yourself, how far are you willing to go?
I'm going to make a statement, and you guys have to determine if this is too far. This is a take floated by Molly Queerum on First Take on ESPN that relates to what we were just talking about. If you listen to her here, she is implying that fighting is acceptable in the NHL and not in other leagues. And you gotta wonder why. Here is Molly Queerum.
It's just interesting to me that certain sports you're allowed to fight and other sports never happen.
And by the way,
optics!
In international competition over the last 50 years, they've had a total of 5 fights. USA and Canada, they had 3 and 9 seconds on Saturday night. That drove me crazy. All right, number two.
Just a little hypocrisy.
All right, number two. This is a big...
Too far to say there's a little hypocrisy there? Because I know what she's doing. I think she's implying that there's racism. That fighting in the NBA and the NFL aren't acceptable. But in hockey, it is. Because of race. I know why it's not acceptable in the NBA. It's because Kermit Washington punched Rudy Tomjanovich in the face and almost killed him. That is literally the reason. Like he hit him, and it was... It's crazy that Tomjanovich didn't have serious damage from that. If you've ever watched it, it's jarring. Like, he hit his head so hard on the court. That's where they tried to make sure it wouldn't get like it did eventually with the Malice in the Palace all those years later. But that was players versus fans. And honestly, the fans deserved it, but that's neither here nor there. I think it is too far to imply that it's not accepted in other sports. It's not done in other sports. It's just not done.
Yeah. Maybe this helps Kieran's point. It is more accepted in baseball. If we're power ranking them, it's hockey number one, where it's part of the game. Baseball number two, where it's like an accepted part of the game.
There are a lot of white guys in baseball.
Yeah.
There are a lot of white guys in hockey.
And the one you mentioned, Kermit Washington, black man, almost killed a white man. That's why it's not acceptable, Paul.
Damn, sounds like you don't think that what Molly Queerham said is too far. Honestly, these are sound arguments.
I can make the sports radio case.
That's a good sports radio case. Look at you, man.
Yeah.
They have been fighting for a very long time in hockey, and just brought up, there it is, 75 half falsehoods. They've been fighting in hockey forever. Stop trying to find race angles on everything. I'm not. Molly Queerham, though, very clearly was.
And I'm just providing, she's not here to whatever.
Defend her take, right. I hate that we do focus this, and that she slides it in there without going into further detail. I think it's kind of BS. It's very convenient thing. They're like, oh, I'm just going to drop this fart in the room and then walk out. Like, okay, come on. Let's get a little more into it than that. Actually say what you're saying with your chest, but she didn't do that there. How far is too far? Is it too far to film a man parallel parking? Is it too far if they're really bad at parallel parking and you record this on video? I ask this because TMZ took a video of Shohei Ohtani parallel parking, and it's rough to watch. It's really rough.
Is that not part of the curriculum in Japan?
I don't know.
Is that like you don't need to do it to get your license?
Honestly, things are so congested in Japan, you would think that would be like the most important part of learning to drive there. I wonder how many people even have cars in Tokyo, because it's like the biggest metroplex in the world. But
it probably is a situation where not a lot of people drive. But also, I don't know where Ohtani was raised. I don't know if he...
I don't either.
He also learned how to pitch and hit. I don't know if he had time to learn how to drive, too.
But a video went viral of Shohei Ohtani parallel parking, and it's pretty rough.
I mean, it's bad. Don't get me wrong, but I think it's too far to film this.
Yeah.
This is very bad.
TMZ's got to make their money, though. I don't think it's too far. TMZ's got to get that video and sell it, and someone will buy it.
Yeah, but did TMZ film this? Because what TMZ will do is they'll just like pay people to give. Like, I could videotape something that would be of TMZ's interest, and they would pay me to get the video. So, I do wonder if just a random person was recording Ohtani parallel parking.
It was probably that.
That I think is not right. I don't think...
I'm cool with it.
I don't think you should...
I'm cool with it.
And Ben Verlander signal boosting this. That's, you know...
He did.
Thought you're an Ohtani ally.
He did. Honestly, some would argue that Ben Verlander is opening up Shohei Ohtani to attacks of a more personal nature.
Yeah. I just think it's interesting that a Japanese player can't
that he can't parallel park? Yeah, and I'm guessing it has to do with no one having cars in Japan.
528,000 people have watched him park.
That's a lot. Is it too far or not far enough for athletes to soft launch trade requests? Just last night, Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks said he'd never force his way out of Milwaukee. Only for hours later, Shams Charania on ESPN to report the following.
Everyone knows Giannis Antetokounmpo loves the Bucks, but I'm here to tell you he loves winning more, and that's why everyone within that Bucks organization, they know what's at stake this season. They know the pressure. And every summer when Giannis looks around and he looks at the Bucks' current roster, he looks at sustained long-term winning. Where will he be able to find that? And he has said publicly on the record, if he feels like that's not attainable anymore in Milwaukee, he will look elsewhere. But of course, he has tried always to make everything work. In Milwaukee, even just this season, they've gone out and gotten Kyle Kuzma. This is a team with Damian Lillard, Kyle Kuzma, Doc Rivers. They're paying Doc Rivers a significant amount after letting go of Adrian Griffin as well. So essentially paying two coaches at once over the last year or so. And Giannis has been playing otherworldly this season. You think about MVP candidates, he's right up there with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Nikola Jokic. But he made those comments a couple years ago about failure and what failure means for the Bucks. In a lot of ways, this is Championship or Eastern Conference Finals. They haven't reached that plateau ever since they got ever since they won the championship in 2021. They've gotten bounced early in the playoffs, and so they need to they do need to get back to that level to show Giannis that they're building something sustainable, building something long term.
This isn't far enough in this game of how far is too far. If you're going to say you're staying, then say you're staying until you leave. If you want to leave and you post stuff like this out there, which is supposed to be pressure, honestly, just get out with it. Get it over with and make the demand. Because, look, Milwaukee, they are hamstrung as far as how competitive they can be the rest of this year. To have this report come out right after Giannis said all of those things, this isn't quite Russell Wilson saying, I don't want to be traded, but if I was traded, I'd like to go to these four teams. But it's close. You're like, yeah. Well, if they don't get better, I mean, who knows? Like, just say you want out if they don't win.
That's what it is.
That would make sense, and I think a lot of people would understand that. You've won them a championship.
Yeah.
I understand that. Like, I don't think that you're an insufferable, unlikable, egomaniac NBA player if the season's going poorly and you're like, hey, man, like, if we don't win, let's see what happens. Now, maybe you're not being the best teammate because you're saying that you have some doubts publicly, which is throwing people under the bus. But it is a competitive industry, and if they're not winning, just say you don't want to be here if they don't win. Everyone would understand that, I think.
Yeah, it's not quite, like you said, the, hey, if we don't, or I'm not asking for a trade, but here's where I want to go.
Yeah.
It's more like, I don't want to trade. But if we don't win anything, what am I doing here? And I think that is understandable when you look at the Bucks and their next best player after Giannis is Damian Lillard. He's 34 years old. Third best player, Brooke Lopez, 36. So this is an older team around him, and a team that's aging around him. And they just traded Chris Middleton, who isn't that much older, but has a body of a much older basketball player. So I can see his point of view of like Shams was saying, the long-term aspect of the winning. And, you know, if they, again, get bounced in the first or second round this year, like, you have to look and, like, is Damian Lillard and Brooke Lopez going to be, are they going to be getting better as we get older? So
right.
I think it's fair.
I just wish you'd go further in this game of how far is too far.
Yes, he should say, if we do not make the Eastern Conference Finals, I am demanding a trade. I think more people should make ultimatums.
How far is too far continues. Airline etiquette, is this too far? Content creator, that's too far.
No, I'm already against this person.
Cam Casey was sitting on a flight while the person behind him stretched out their legs to reveal their flip-flop adorned feet beneath his seat, much to his disgust. Bro, this is nasty, he wrote on the viral video in which he looked repulsed. To dole out, quote, instant karma, end quote, he uncapped his bottle of water and poured it on the person's feet. They recoiled immediately. Sean is laughing hysterically behind the glass.
You know what? I'm kind of on the side. I think it's too far, but I think it's funny.
I think it's a psycho move to wear flip-flops on a plane.
Yes,
that's why.
To walk
barefoot through an airport, and on top of that, it gets cold when you're up there. I don't want my feet to be cold. I do like to have the dogs outside of the shoes. When I was a little kid and my feet didn't stink, I would take my shoes off because my feet would expand and it would hurt. Then I realized that it's disgusting and everyone can smell your feet except for you. So I stopped doing it. I was a little kid. I didn't know any better. But if the person is stretching their feet underneath your seat, they might just be really tall. This situation, no, the nails were painted. I don't think this person was tall. I can understand someone, like, for a second stretching their legs underneath so far that you see them underneath.
Yeah.
I guess if they were barefoot completely, I would be grossed out by it. But I think this is too far. Pouring water on the person.
Because what I'm battling with is that the person in flip-flops, like, they have committed an offense, and that is wearing flip-flops on a plane. Like, that is an act of aggression against everyone else on the plane.
Yeah.
The water bottle is stepping it up. Like, that is escalating the transgression.
Yeah, 100%.
It depends how well you play it off.
I think this is too far.
And then,
I don't think it's gross that someone wears flip flops on a plane. I don't think that's gross. I don't. I think it's gross when you're sitting next to a family from another country, clearly, and their bare feet, they are rubbing those bare feet against the seat in front of them. And yeah, for a whole flight, which happened to me once on a Turkish Airlines flight back from Croatia to Houston. The entire flight, this family just no qualms about personal space, no cares at all.
They do it differently. I thought you would have learned in Yacht Week.
No, it was disgusting. I was like, I'm so glad to come back to the United States.
Where people have shame.
Just sitting next to these people. All right. Some garbage time before we get out of here. Garbage. Garbage.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
A woman's mugshot has gone viral after breaking up with her boyfriend. She filled his gas tank with, one, a generous pour of Coke Zero, two, and I've never heard of this before, sucked on Skittles. Her mugshot, she's pretty cute, not gonna lie.
Okay.
Am I down bad enough to debate whether or not I could fix her? Yes. I'm admitting it. But people suck Skittles? They just suck the Skittle and then they spit it out? And then they put it, I mean, putting it into the gas tank, that's the psycho move.
Yeah.
She got arrested for this.
I need to know some more information on the Skittles.
Okay.
Pre-sucked.
Pre-sucked Skittles. I've never heard of that.
How do you know? How do you know they're pre-sucked?
They got
put in a gas can or a gas tank.
How did you find it? I guess you must have admitted to it. They put a light on her in the interrogation room. I sucked them Skittles. I sucked them good. Please don't isolate that. One last one. Delta Airlines is offering the passengers of the flight that overturned in Toronto and caught fire, with everyone hanging from their seats like bats until they were evacuated from the plane, $30,000. Would you take $30,000? Here's the thing. I would take $30,000 gladly. I'd be okay with that, but I'm definitely pushing for more.
No, the thing is, if they're offering $30,000
to start,
that means you can get more.
Definitely.
That means you can get more if you take it to court.
But it'll take a while to get that money.
True, but you're probably going to get like 10x that money.
Oh, kind of wish I was on that plane now.
No casualties.
Just injuries. And on that note, that's going to wrap up today's edition of Gallant and George. Big thanks to our texters, our callers. Shout out to Julian. YouTubers and Twitchers and everyone else who listened. For Sean Mapes behind the glass, I am merely Paul Gallant. No Joe today. He'll be back on Monday. So long, farewell, and have yourselves a wonderful Thursday. The Killer Bees are next. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.